This episode of the podcast is brought to you by J.D. Chapman Insurance Agency. Are you an aspiring business owner or entrepreneur looking to be part of New York's multi-billion dollar cannabis industry? If so, the decisions you make in these early stages are imperative to your future success. And I'll tell you from personal experience that you will face risk on a daily basis. So it's important to have a comprehensive insurance program in place with a trusted, reliable partner. J.D. Chapman offers special insurance for cannabis growers, medical and adult use dispensaries, edibles manufacturers, testing labs, ancillary businesses, and more. Available coverage includes general liability, product liability, excess liability, and workers' comp. In this exciting and rapidly growing industry, it's important to have a partner you can trust. Contact J.D. Chapman today at 315-986-4062. For all your cannabis insurance needs. J.D. Chapman, from seed to sale, they have you covered.
The views and opinions expressed on this show belong solely to the hosts and their guests and do not reflect the views of any outside institutions unless explicitly stated.
What's up, everyone? My name is Steve Vandewall, and I'm the host of Cannabis Cum Laude, a podcast devoted entirely to cannabis. This podcast will cover a full spectrum of topics, including cultivation, business, medicine, politics, culture, advocacy, and everything in between. Because let's face it, the cannabis industry is very complicated. It's robust and it has a ton of moving parts. So it's going to be my job to help you understand it a little bit better. So tune in every week for a brand new episode. And if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. And if you really, really, really like the show and are interested in sponsoring, please shoot me an email at logistics@cannabiscumlaude.com. Now enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. I'm your host, Steve Vandewall. I'm really happy to be back. We took a couple weeks off. And today we're going to be talking with Jess Vandewall and Greg Weiss of Happy Valley, a wildly successful vertically integrated cannabis company in Gloucester, Mass. Jess is the VP of wholesale, and Greg is the VP of technology and strategic growth. Jess is also my cousin. Very small world, and I'm so happy to have you both here. We've been planning this for a while, and thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm really happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah.
So I really want to get into the origin story of Happy Valley. Can you kind of walk me through the early days of Happy Valley?
Yeah, I think what's funny is Greg and I were number two and three of the company, so I think this is probably right up our alley. You want to?
Yeah. So we've both been with the company almost 4 years, very early hires. There's over 225 people in the company. We're vertically integrated with our main facility in Gloucester, where we grow, process, and also have a retail store. That was our first retail store. We have a second retail store in East Boston and a third retail store in Brighton in the city of Boston, coming online most likely next year. And where we're sitting at now is our first day in our newly finished conference room corporate offices in Newburyport. That is also a second grow facility cultivation, mainly to supply the ever-growing and expanding wholesale market in Massachusetts.
Hell yeah. Now, your roles at Happy Valley, VP of Wholesale, VP of Technology and Strategic Operations, what does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, we started in different roles than what we are now. So our day-to-day used to be a little bit different than it is. I came in as Director of Design and Project Management. So I was working on the facilities from the design and construction and project management perspective. Getting the buildings, you know, finished. And once we started cultivating, we had product that we needed to sell. So then the door and conversation to wholesale became full circle. And I stepped into the role of VP of wholesale. Being a new company in an industry that no one knows your name is a challenge to start out of the gate, creating the brand for yourself, getting your name out there in every way you can. And the most important thing was meeting as many people as I could. We've created the Happy Valley Wholesale Division from scratch. And now today, you know, we're in roughly about 55 stores across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Wow. In a variety of capacity. If people don't carry every SKU that we offer, but you know, some do, and we have a full suite of products in many operator stores and then also in our own stores.
Wow. My day to day. Wow. That seems like a trick question. Much like Jessica and us being both being early hires, we're a startup, you know, got to wear many, many hats. So my primary role when we started and still is today is technology and really vetting all the different technology providers that it takes to run cultivation, that it takes to run retail, everything. And pretty much every technology provider in the cannabis industry is also a startup and trying to get funded, startup of maybe 2 years or 5 or 6 years. So my day to day in the beginning before stores were open was really focused on finding the right technology partners. About a year before we opened our first retail store, we realized we needed a marketing department. So my and strategic growth today, prior to a couple of months ago, was and marketing. So over the last year and a half or so, my focus was really building out the marketing department, which we now have a director of marketing and some support and social media manager and everything that it takes to run a marketing department. So my day-to-day as of today is focused on technology and growth and, you know, strategically where are we going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, you know, looking at New York, looking at other markets, how can we really elevate our brand outside of Massachusetts through thought leadership and articles and strategic partners and hopefully in the future acquisitions and things like that.
Wow. And you got, I mean, it's been what, 4 years since you've been?
Yeah, it feels much longer than growth. Four. I think it feels way longer than four.
It moves, things move. So, you know, everybody says how fast things move in the cannabis industry. And that's absolutely true. I think things move faster at Happy Valley because we just have, you know, a lot of people, especially on the leadership team, who just want to get shit done. Yep. You know, we want to move fast. We have to move fast because we know other people are moving fast. Yes.
Right.
It's highly competitive. It's fast and it's ever changing. I mean, I just don't know of any other market or industry that is like that. It's, you know, you have to be almost sprinting all hours of the day because there's 100 other people behind you doing and chasing the same thing.
Yeah, and coming to market with new SKUs is definitely a piece to that too. I mean, everybody wants to be the first person to the market with a new SKU, you know, but many operators are often aligned with their idea of what those SKUs are, what they look like, and how, what direction you want to take them in.
Well, leads me to my next question about, you know, consumer trends then and now. You know, we all think of, especially as a new market, flower, edibles, pre-rolls as things that people generally want, you know, in a new market. What have you seen in terms of consumer trends when you first started and you know, how have they changed over the years?
Yeah, I think, you know, initially when we first started talking about wholesale and just the, you know, the ground in general and the Commonwealth and what that looked like, we were all under the impression that pre-rolls were a nice add-on category, right? That, you know, it was something good to have, but people want to roll their own joints and they want to have eights. We learned very quickly that the pre-roll market in Massachusetts is joint season all year round. Obviously, in the warmer months, you have a larger volume. But, you know, the sell through on pre-rolls and what we thought it was going to be to where it actually is was really surprising to all of us in the Commonwealth. Every other, you know, market across the United States is much slower moving with pre-roll SKUs. And Massachusetts just has a really high velocity of that.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on the pre-roll, one of our locations is pretty much right across the road from Logan Airport. Mm-hmm. Prior to me relocating from Colorado to Massachusetts, you know, and traveling sometimes twice a month as it got closer to store opening, you know, my first stop before we were opening was if the closest dispensary grabs some pre-rolls for my week's day. And I think a lot of people that travel really gravitate towards pre-rolls. Super easy. Yep. Just need a lighter and go.
We're in the era of convenience, you know?
Yeah, even if I stop into a wholesale customer just to check in at any time, it's, you know, I always find myself walking out with pre-rolls because it's nice to, you know, see what they're growing or what they have and try variety, but then also it's quick.
Yeah.
I love pre-rolls, you know. I even like buying, you know, cones and the, you know, the raw cones for my personal stash. I'm not an excellent roller, and these make it quick, easy. You know, you can roll a couple if you're going to a concert. I mean, the pre-roll market here in this, you know, this kind of pop-up gray area where we are at in Rochester is huge. I mean, everyone loves pre-rolls. Everyone's trying to do it. You're starting to see companies that are little businesses that are just doing pre-rolling for, you know, drop a unit off, we'll roll it up for you for a buck of pre-roll. So you're already starting to see people recognize these trends, you know, kind of in anticipation for the real McCoy market. One thing that I'm noticing in New York, and I'm sure this is common in all emerging markets, is, you know, you're starting to see a lot of brands and businesses come to the surface. But for the most part here, a lot of them kind of look and sound and act the same. You know, it almost looks like sometimes you see, you know, it's all one brand, but they're all kind of the cartoony, you know, just kind of all very similarly branded and undifferentiated. You know, half the battle in this industry is differentiating yourself from the competition in a very, you know, a busy lake of fish. How do you guys differentiate yourselves at Happy Valley to stand out from the rest of the competition?
Yeah, so from a brand perspective, in a marketing and building the marketing department, it was really the vision for Happy Valley to be different. How are we different? You know, everybody could say we got the best product, we grow the best flower, like that's kind of across the board. But what's really a differentiator for us in our retail stores is our retail stores are a showcase for our own Happy Valley products. So when you come into a Happy Valley store, you see Happy Valley edibles and flower and vape and pods and across all different categories. You don't come into Happy Valley and ask your bud tender, you know, what edible should I buy? And then there's 10 different choices and you're going to most likely buy whatever that bud tender is pushing. So that's one major differentiator on the retail side. You want to speak to wholesale differentiators or anything?
Yeah,
else?
I would say that we try to, obviously, we want to be in a bunch of stores. We want to be in the right partner stores. So, you know, it's important to us that what we've created from the brand and experience, not only internally from an education standpoint to our own staff, can also be duplicated out in the field. So whether you're at a Happy Valley store, you want to get that same experience in our own store or at a partner store on the other side of the state. Creating uniformity has been really important for us just across the brand, but in general from education and our reach. So not only education to our wholesale customers, our wholesale partners, but the wholesale customers' customers. Educating them in the same way that we would be. So I think we spend a lot of time and care and attention to detail from the education standpoint and, you know, informing people the best that we can, the furthest that we can, more so than what a lot of other operators do in the state. Obviously, premium product is something that we have behind us. You know, we recently came off a handful of wins from the High Times Cannabis Cup,
nice,
which is incredible. And so that's kind of catapulted us into, you know, more brand awareness, brand loyalty, yeah, and just overall expansion of our product SKUs as well.
Brand building in wholesale is kind of challenging. You know, in my experience, you know, there's already a huge education gap in cannabis between cannabis, you know, professionals and businesses and the consumers. And then at least when you're on the retail side of the brand, you can control those interactions. If you have partners that don't know how to talk the talk and walk the walk, and you're in control of your brand, you know, forget sales. It could be tainting your brand. So it is very important to find people that you trust and businesses that you trust to work with, because they're your salespeople now. And I can imagine in such an industry that's so populated and competitive that, you know, you really got to do some digging to find some good partners.
Yeah, we like to do a lot of, you know, special events with our partners and, you know, kind of make sure that they know how much we value them. We couldn't do it without them. You know, we want them to know how valued their customers are because they are the ones buying our product and believing in us and standing behind us and encouraging us. You know, it's just been a huge factor for us, whether we're, you know, popping up in their shop and doing a specialty item that we're releasing, you know, for the certain period of time that we're there, or we're, you know, stopping in to say hey and dropping off some swag. It's all of those things are just really important to us.
And just to add to that, I think another differentiator is our customer experience, our customer support that spans across retail and wholesale. So if we have a customer that has whatever the issue is, we call them, we make it right, whether it's through email or through a contact form or through our chat bot or through our app or for the phone. There's many ways that our customers can get in touch with us. Or if it's on the wholesale side and somebody buys a Happy Valley product in Western Massachusetts, that particular store reaches out to us. You know, we give out a lot of gift cards. And, you know, that's one of the things, that's one of our pillars that, you know, is there's so many dispensaries in Massachusetts, and there will be 100 more in the next couple years. It's like you really have to service the customer to create that brand loyalty. It doesn't matter how high your THC is of your flower or how cheap your product is, because you're not going to come back if you have a poor interaction with a host, a bud tender, someone at the store, whether it's wholesale or retail. So that's, you know, we have a whole call center, and that's one of our pillars as well.
Five people, probably something around that. Yeah. A whole team of five people that field all, you know, great calls or calls that are not so great, but they're an incredible group of people, and it's awesome that we get to leverage them for retail and wholesale.
Wow. That's awesome.
I don't know of anyone else. Yeah, I don't know of anyone else, you know, across the state that has a team that purely handles all customer experience.
You know, it's funny here, you know, we hear every time we hear vertical integration, it's in the context of the MSOs. And at least here, the legacy market is, no one's really that fond of the MSOs. And vertical integration has become a buzzword for low quality products, bad customer service, et cetera. And I really hope people take anything from this conversation that's not true, because there are small businesses who turned into very large successful businesses who built their business on craft and sustainability and customer satisfaction. And that's transitioned all the way to, you know, 4 years later and 225 employees and, you know, whatever the numbers are. So I just congratulate you guys for, you know, being a shining example that, you know, vertical integration can come with a lot of really, really good positive things.
And vertical integration is hard.
So hard.
Right? I mean, you're an agricultural company. You're a consumer packaged goods company. Mm-hmm. You're a retail store.
Wholesale.
You're wholesale. You're a kitchen and a lab. Like, it's all wrapped into one. And it is... it's hard. And just seeing it evolve from the beginning to where we are, it's fulfilling to see that we've been able to do what's really, really hard. You know, in some cases, it's easy to open up a retail store, have 10 different SKUs of edibles, order from 20 different wholesale partners, make sure you have your margins, and call it a day, simplifying it. But that, in compared to what I just described, is our night and day.
Certainly. I mean, cultivation on its own is hard. Running, you know, a commercial kitchen on its own is hard. Like, all these things individually. That's why in New York, there's literally a license for each individual part of the supply chain, because it's complex. It's challenging. Each one can be a business, and you're doing it all under one roof. And it's it really is amazing. I think my guess, and, you know, being the VP of tech, is that technology and, you know, using new technology to streamline your operations and grow this company has been imperative to your success. Can you talk about some of the tech that you guys use throughout the supply chain at Happy Valley?
Yeah. So, you know, some of the tech is not unique. Some of it is. You know, everyone has to be compliant with metric and seed to sale tracking. There's menu systems that integrate with your point of sale system. There's merchant accounts for debit. So there's definitely a lot of tech. My background, I previously started an app development company and sold it when I lived in Florida before I got into the cannabis industry. So when I first came to Happy Valley, I immediately knew that we should build an app. So we were one of the first cannabis companies with an app in the app store, and certainly the first in Massachusetts. I don't even think there's many in Massachusetts now, yeah. But we were able to do these different integrations with our app. So for example, you can type in your phone number in our app and it'll pull in all your purchases, your purchase history, your receipts. And that's an integration with LeafLogix, our point of sale. We also have another integration with our chatbot that we kind of turned on its head and created this journal. So it brings in your products and you can tap on a vape cart, and then you journal in this chat back and forth. How did this cart make you feel? Check all that apply, add a comment. So it creates this little journal feature where you can remember the products if you want to purchase them again, how you felt, what you bought, how much it was, all that stuff. In addition to our e-com provider, which is Dutchie, you know, right within the app, you can place an order. So tech is, you know, ever evolving in the cannabis industry. Some of the providers we started out with almost 4 years ago were not with because, you know, maybe they went down on 420. you know, maybe there were better solutions out there. Again, all these companies are 3, 4, 5 year startups. So as they evolve, other companies come on board and go, oh, I can do it better right. than them. And everyone in the tech industry wants to be in the cannabis industry because of the opportunity, the growth. And I found a lot of people in tech just are, like I said, are in the cannabis industry, which is refreshing.
Even down to CRM, you know, management companies.
Have you been able to, I come from an e-commerce background before I got into cannabis, and, you know, just even in CBD, we found it really challenging from a merchant processing. You know, I've had every merchant processor shut me down twice. Yeah. And you guys know that old song and dance. Have you found that you've been able to leverage, you know, existing and popular techs, or are you starting to, have you found more success in using like cannabis specific technology?
It's kind of twofold. A good example is CRM that Jessica just mentioned. We're using HubSpot. You know, they're agnostic to the cannabis industry because it's just manning customer data. And right. we found they're one of the best platforms, and they also do integrations. But, you know, tech evolves, and, you know, everybody wants to get into this industry. So,
yeah, everyone wants
it. It is everybody. There's not anyone that hasn't, I think, reached out at some point in time.
It's the opportunity is too good, you know, to be in the front of a, you know, the next. I mean, I always think this is kind of the internet era, you know, how big the internet was back in the 90s, you know, the cannabis is that of that magnitude. So to be on the, you know, we're just at the beginning, you know, we still have a whole lot of states to legalize. I mean, hell, New York hasn't even rolled out their program, you know, to be really on the cusp of this new industry is just, I can only imagine how big it's going to get in 5-10 years.
Yeah.
We touched a little bit about on compliance earlier, metric. I think, you know, New York is really starting to, and New York, you know, future business owners are really starting to look at metric and understand metric in preparation. Sure. But, you know, compliance and kind of the landscape of compliance is changing. It seems like every week there's a new reg or there's needs clarity on something. But from kind of a wholesale and marketing perspective, can you discuss compliance and some of the things that you know, the issues or problems that you guys have had to deal with?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, from the wholesale side of things, there's a handful of items that relate to that, you know, out to customer sampling. You know, we can only, if we're trying to get a customer to bring on a new SKU that we've released, the best course of action is to provide samples for, you know, their staff to try. Your biggest sellers are the bud tenders. So getting product in their hands, you know, there are regulations surrounding what that looks like. Only a certain amount of product in a 30-day period can be distributed to a specific company. So that's something that we always have to actively track what we sold, what that weight was, you know, whether it's flower equivalency, if it's an edible or a concentrate, or just flour, something that we're always tracking to make sure that, you know, we're in compliance. And we never expected it to be so complicated to get samples into the hands of, you know, your wholesale partners. So there's that, you know, obviously typical delivery, you know, surrounding wholesale as far as, you know, having to build out your vehicle. If you do your own deliveries or you use a third party transporter, we have our own fleet of vehicles. So we do deliver, and we have a director of security who has taken the reins on fitting out all of the vehicles appropriately and into compliance. So we have a, you know, reliable vehicles that we're on the road with every day doing deliveries, whether that's between our own store to East Boston or out, you know, all over the state running orders for people. So that's been a nice piece that, you know, we have internal that we don't have to outsource. And a lot of compliance pieces to that are just important to for us to always stay on track of, including the GPS tracking that, you know, gives the ability for us to see where our team is from a safety standpoint. And one thing that I think has been interesting, you know, from the wholesale side of things in the last probably two, you know, a week or two ago that we heard, vertical operators up until this point have been the ones that have been allowed to have a medical license in the retail store. Now there is discussion that potentially, possibly, you don't have to be vertical to get your medical license. So that's great because we make a line of products that our 400 milligram for our patients, and we've been able to sell them only to our, you know, medical license wholesale partners, which is very limited because there's not many verticals or operators that have the medical license. So fingers crossed that that moves through, because I think that, you know, allows the expansion of patients and outreach in the Commonwealth that we haven't currently had in the capacity that we'd like with the products that we're able to provide. So that's something exciting we're keeping our eye on. I think we're all kind of hopeful for that.
Is that, you know, a piece of policy that's moving right now? What is that? What exactly does that look like?
It's been talked about in some of the recent meetings, and it's just something that our head of compliance is kind of tracking for us to see where it falls when it flushes out.
So I want to talk about diversity and inclusion in the cannabis industry. It's two buzzwords that are very popular that the cannabis industry has done a really good job of being inclusive and diverse and bringing in those from communities of color and disproportionately affected areas of the state and towns. What are you guys doing? How are you doing your part to be more diverse and inclusive?
Well, right now, kind of piggybacking on delivery, it's a good segue into this. The regulations are as such where a delivery license, I think it's a 3-year exclusivity for social equity applicants. And right now we are in the process of vetting a couple of delivery partners to be able to do delivery. So that's one thing that I think is good to, you know, give them first crack at the licenses. Yeah. On the other hand, it would still be great if we could use our own vehicles to deliver our own products. But, you know, the other thing that we've done, we're a big supporter of Last Prisoner Project. This will be our second year in 2022 where we've supported them and we partner with them. We're going to be we're the exclusive sponsor of Boston Calling this summer, which is a big music festival. We're going to have some presence there with Last Prisoner Project. Nice. We were at NECAN, which is an industry event in Boston a couple of months ago. So we partner with them. You know, we also have a big philanthropy initiative with the company since we started. We've done two different scholarships where we've done contests online for people to write an essay cannabis related. And then we offer them, we've already given away $5,000 in scholarships. We support our local communities up in Gloucester. There's a backyard growers. So every month, pretty much, we do something where we're giving back, whether it's a beach cleanup. So it's a big, philanthropy is a big part of our being and our company and our people, and we'll continue to do that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we have a group internally that that leads that. There's probably roughly 10 people on the team, and they help plan all of the efforts that we put together.
Yeah, it's important, you know, coming in a new industry that's still, you know, heavily stigmatized, that, you know, they see us as, wow, they're up cleaning up neighborhoods and, you know, feeding people who maybe not have great access to food and, you know, all these things that I think are slowly but surely going to bring down those walls. So props to you guys for doing your part. That's huge. And one thing I want to wrap up with, and I always like to ask this to, you know, people who have been in the industry and operating in the legal industry and have especially been there from the beginning, is what advice can you offer to specifically New York cannabis entrepreneurs who are looking and getting prepared to enter the New York the New York market?
Go on.
You want to go first? All right. So I think just from, you know, big picture, from seeing this evolve and where we are, one of the most important things that I've been able to leverage throughout, you know, the 4 years that I've been with Happy Valley is who you know. Meeting everybody that you can, because at some point in time, you'll either work together, they need your help, or you need their help. The industry is very small. Everyone knows everyone. And the more people that you know, and the more people you can support and lift each other up has been probably the most helpful and informational piece, you know, whether that's just talking about, you know, what's happening in the market, what's going on, how's it looking, and, you know, overall conversation. I think being able to leverage the people that you know is just a huge piece of that.
Great advice.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, and I'm going to kind of echo that and just say that people who are listening to this advice, we both have been in your shoes. We've been in the positions like, I want to get into this industry. Damn, how do I do it? Right. And we've been there. And for me personally, what I've done is, yeah, network, get out there, talk to people. Go to the trade shows, go to MJ Biz if you can, go to your smaller regional ones if you can, get involved in some of the organizations that are forming locally that are like new cannabis industry associations. Get out there, network the people, offer your services and your advice to people. You know, I have a software background, but, you know, that isn't necessarily directly related to cannabis, but now it is, because there's all this technology that we need to run the cannabis, our stores and our cultivation and things like that. But just getting involved, you know, whether it's you're in a state and medical's on the ballot. I used to live in Florida, and I got involved in United for Care with Amendment 2, and that's how Florida passed medical. And I met so many people from just getting involved and networking. And I mean, I got this job because I had a friend who I met. He actually does one of the very first cannabis podcasts called Canna Insider.
Okay.
Matt, he's the OG of cannabis podcasting.
Yeah,
and I met Matt through going to his website, filling out a contact form, having a conversation with him. He lived in Boulder at the time. Matt, I hope you're listening. And I flew out to Boulder, spent a day or two. Matt introduced me to a bunch of people. Matt also introduced me to Michael Riordan, who's our CEO of Happy Valley. That's how I ended up here.
Wow.
So an intro through an intro through an intro is how I'm here.
It's oftentimes how it works. It's not, you know, not about what you know. It's about who you know.
It really is.
So thank you both so much for coming on the show today. Congratulations on your tremendous success. I mean, I think, you know, from a New Yorker anxiously watching our neighbors, you're a shining example of what I think every cannabis business should aspire to be, you know, starting small and, you know, seeing the success that you guys have had. And it's huge because it's very, very, very difficult. It's very difficult to be good at one thing, and it's especially difficult to be good at everything. And you guys are doing it. So props to you. I'm really excited to watch you guys continue to grow and expand, and I hope you'll come on again and kind of just keep us updated. I know my audience will really enjoy the show. So thanks again for taking your time and sitting down.
Thank you.
I do appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having us, Steve.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been another episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. We'll see you next week. Thanks to our friends here at Rockbox Recording and Production in Rochester, New York. They are a full professional podcast and video studio designed by a radio guy for podcasters. Audio, video, voiceovers, editing, whatever. Mouth off at Rockbox at rockbox.com.
You can follow Cannabis Cum Laude on LinkedIn and all other social media platforms, as well as Cannabuzz. And if you'd like to help support the show, search up Cannabis Cum Laude on Patreon. And of course, all of those links are in the show notes. Thanks for watching and listening.